Speaking of awkward celebrity encounters, yesterday we went to the screening for that the Lemurs documentary that Morgan Freeman's narrating, and it was at the California Science Center, and there was kind of a big to-do, and Morgan Freeman was there. And so, you know, he was kind of shaking everyone's hand as they left. He's like being like super cool dude, and I was there with Luke and Zach and Amy. And as we were leaving, Morgan Freeman like asked Zach, like, "So did you like the movie?" And Zach's like, "Are you Darth Vader?"
Wow.
I'd be like, "Well, there's really nothing I can say." Shook his hand, I left.
That's awesome.
God damn it! I get it!
It was just crap. It was terrible.
I was titillated.
I know you want to go.
No, I slept with like 3 girls a night. No one ever said anything.
Dude.
Oh, God. You guys are disgusting.
Boring.
So boring.
That is an amazing film.
Ooh, I love me some Statham.
That's a little bit of brilliance that just came out of your mouth there, Justin. I like it.
Do you want to keep going?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, geeks of all ages, welcome back to another fun and festive episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. I'm Justin Cavender, and shortly I'll be joined by my two best friends and fellow hosts, David and Randy. But in the meantime, I'd like to kick things off with our special guest this week. I'm here with the fine folks from Robot Underdog, the production studio that's currently working on a live-action Dragon Ball Z web series. The pilot episode is called Light of Hope, and I'd like to introduce the series director, Donnie McMillan. Hey, how's it going? Series producer, Rita McMillan.
Hey, guys.
And last but certainly not least, Anton Bex as the future Gohan.
Hi.
How are you guys?
We're good. Thanks for having us on the show.
Hey, thanks for being here. It's a pleasure. Now, let's talk about Light of Hope for a second. It was written by Derek Padula, and this is important because he's kind of a big deal in the Dragon Ball universe. He actually wrote a book, It's Over 9,000, which actually ties into your Indiegogo goal of 9,001, which I thought that was cute. Well, we can talk about more. We can talk more about that in a minute, but definitely adorable. And so the Light of Hope is actually based on the history of Trunks. And a super quick synopsis of that is it hits the fan. The story takes place in a dark and twisted future where sadistic androids have killed all the Z fighters with the exception of Gohan and Goku. Oh, I'm sorry, the son of Gohan, the son of Goku, and Trunks, who is the adorable purple-haired love child from Bulma and Vegeta. Does that sound about right?
That sounds
well. Technically,
right.
They don't kill Goku because he dies.
Right, he has a heart attack. Yeah, I had
you're
misspoken.
Not completely wrong there.
Yeah. He doesn't have the right medication to get better, I guess. So, Donnie,
I'm on Obamacare.
Me too.
Obamacare.
Those bastards.
What was
Donnie, real quick, how did you decide on this was the story that you wanted to tell?
Well, you know, obviously the world is crazy about Dragon Ball, and there's been a huge demand for quality live action Dragon Ball Z. So we wanted to choose something that would be a challenging project to take on at the same time, like something we could deliver. So to begin with, that's where we started with Dragon Ball. As far as choosing which saga to tell, there's so much to the Dragon Ball storylines that it is tough to choose, but there's also so much craziness going on in most of the storylines that we're just not capable of doing an appropriate representation of without, like, with our limitations of CG and budget and everything. And we realized that the history of Trunks was the perfect story. It gave you, there's a lot of heart. It was dark. It was gritty. The characters are amazing. The villains are incredible. The heroes are great. And it's just a really engaging story. It's personally my favorite story in Dragon Ball, and as well as pretty much everyone on our team. Everyone really loves History of Trunks. And it just made sense, you know? It just made sense, and we kind of wanted to run with that idea. And so here we are.
Right. No, I agree. I mean, especially with Android 17 and 18 looking just like normal people for the most part. They're not like weird aliens or anything like that.
Exactly. And, a lot of people want to do Frieza or Cell or, you know, there's just these other characters that are just really extravagant and really interesting. I mean, they're great characters, but When you're talking web series, I think it's important to, we wanted to separate ourselves from not, we don't want to feel like a fan film. We want to feel like a short film, like a quality short film. And the only way to do that is to take advantage of villains, like you're saying, like 17 and 18, that we can get wardrobe and make them look perfect. We can do modest CG to, you know, to enhance their eyes or things like that. Just
right.
Things that really sell them, but they're doable, you know?
Absolutely. Now, speaking of the visual effects, back in December, you actually posted a Kamehameha blast on YouTube. And,
yeah.
That was pretty intense. And now, according to the description under the video, it said Light of Hope was going to be a three-part live-action web series. Is that still the game plan?
That is still the game plan. As of right now, we have three scripts written. Derek is an incredible writer. He cranked out three awesome scripts that we're really excited to do. We're kind of taking it one step at a time, just kind of seeing how the fans respond to everything. But in our mind, we have full intentions on doing three. You know, hopefully everyone loves this first one, and we'll just play it by ear from there once we release this first one, and we'll keep going. But yeah, we definitely have three in the can.
Perfect.
Everyone's going to love it. We love it, and it's awesome.
I'm excited. I just saw a 2-minute trailer. I was like, bring it. All right. Take my money. Let's talk about Gohan. He flies. Anton, how are you at flying? Have you mastered it?
Working on it. Planes come at you faster than you think. but no, it's interesting. I've only done wire work once before, on a music video. And it wasn't as intricate as what they are pulling for Light of Hope. But it's definitely coming easier to me than Taylor.
Tyler?
Tyler.
Sorry, Tyler.
That's why he's at fight practice. No. Everyone actually seemed like to be picking up. I think it was the enthusiasm of people just being like, I need to be Dragon Ball Z all the way. And so it was just like, go. Like the one day we had, I think everyone pretty picked it up pretty well.
Perfect.
I had a ton of fun with it. It's definitely an adjustment than from fighting on the ground, but it's gonna look awesome because it already looked awesome, and we could see the string. So without the string, it's gonna look even better.
Perfect. Now, like in the cartoon, here's some of the ways where it's different. Because in the cartoon, when you're watching a fight scene, they're powering up for 40 goddamn minutes, and then when they are fighting, it's just super fast hand motions, and then disappearing, reappearing for like another 45 minutes, and then you know they're tired. So now this is a little bit different. You guys are jumping up in the air, punching each other. I watched the fighting choreography video, which is available on YouTube as well. So everyone, subscribe to their YouTube channel, and you can
please.
You can see all these cool videos. And so how does that work with you guys just jumping up in the air and then landing punches?
Well, we want to stay true, so we're still going to have 45 minutes of powering up.
No, we're not.
Because that's what the fans want. The choreography isn't going to be just blurs of hands, because, I mean, that's no one's going to really want to see that. But it's going to keep to the essence of the powerful hits and the speed and the key blasts and all the, you know, crazy amount of destruction that follows. So I think the fans will be really excited to see that they can keep up with the movement.
I think people are going to flip out when they see it. You know, instead of doing like a cartoony, over the top, like fast forward looking punches and stuff, we're going to really allow the viewer to feel like they are in sync with the fighters. We're actually letting them see what these strikes are that are happening are. And there's going to be moments where we slow it down and kind of go the same speed as the mind of the Saiyans that are in the fight. And then we're going to speed back up and, you know, just get right back into it where they're fighting at warp speed and cut to far shots where you see just specks in the sky, like, just in shock waves and everything. It's going to be really, really cool.
I like it.
I feel the closest reference would be the Goku versus Majin Vegeta, where you actually saw the movements as opposed to just and then right. fight's over.
Right. Now, in the history of Trunks, Gohan lost his arm. Is that going to happen? Are we going to see Android 17 beat you up with your own arm and be like, why are you hitting yourself?
You'll have to wait to see. You just have to wait to see.
Okay. Do I like that idea?
You can have that. That's free. If you want to do that, I won't even take credit for that.
I think that's one of those moments that we kind of want to let you guys see once that happens. You know, we want to let everyone know that we're staying very true to the story. At the same time, there will be some different everything won't be 100% the same, mm-hmm. but you guys just have to check it out once we shoot. That'll be in episode 2, I'll tell you that much. And you know, that's just incentive to really helping this project out and going and sharing this first episode so you can get episode 2 and find out if Gohan loses his arm.
Spoiler alert, Gohan dies.
Oh, come on, Rita.
Yeah, he gets like 500 laser beams to the face,
and he still looks good after. Right,
he's got a good makeup guy. Let's see. Let's talk about the meme comments video. I thought this was hilarious. Of course, we all know that fans can be very passionate about something that they enjoy. In this case, Dragon Ball Z. You know, there's been a precedent of late where it's just been anyone that's tried to attempt something like this, it turns out to fall flat. So, of course, there's going to be some skepticism and some just downright rude folk. but a couple of the comments that just caught my eye just happened to be some of the more racist ones. Like, will you use Wesley Snipes as Mr. Popo? I thought that was...
That's funny.
I was
that's
laughing. Funny. Yes, I thought that was funny. I was like,
my response to that is that he wasn't black enough.
Yeah.
He's not black enough.
That's hot. And then the other one was the WTF guy, where he's like, WTF, a black guy directed this?
Yeah.
I thought that was just silly.
Yeah, we all laughed so hard. You know, here's the thing, man. You know, I think a couple people might have got a little, they took it a little like we were being snarky or anything. The thing is, you know, we've actually had so much love. And to go back to what you were saying, you know, when anyone does a Dragon Ball Z project in live action, they get a lot of criticism. And, you know, honestly, all in all, we've had so much love and support from the Dragon Ball community that we just kind of wanted to laugh at the stuff that seemed a little outrageous. You know, like we constantly like just let everyone know how much we appreciate their support. And that was just a funny little thing we were trying to do just to kind of lighten the mood.
Right. We were reading them. We had a production meeting. We were just all laughing, reading them. Like hanging out, and we're like, this is hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. Our first AD, Paris Lay, the guy that actually read the Mr. Popo line, he was like, you know, this would be a great mean tweets video.
Parody.
You know, parody, you know. And so we just really thought it would just be a blast. And, you know, again, it was a way to let like the haters and the trolls out there know that there are like people that actually read these mean and nasty comments you write. They don't just disappear into cyberspace.
Right.
But, you know, just more importantly, we just kind of wanted to have fun and just kind of let everyone know we had a little bit of a sense of humor, you know. We weren't trying to take ourselves
too seriously. You need to do it again.
Yeah.
I want in on this.
Yeah, and it was, you know, it was classy, it was humorous, and I just, having the Everybody Hurts playing, I thought that was awesome.
My favorite one was the Power Ranger comment.
Oh, right, right.
Pink and black.
I think that that was wonderful, and I'm glad you guys did that.
Thanks, man. Thanks. You know, I do have to say lastly with that is we're really grateful for our team. We have a really awesome team of people. I do wish Anton was in that video. He would have made it just that much funnier. But everyone on our team has been so great, and they're just totally willing to read. They read all these comments, and we're all just a really big part of it. We take this seriously. We do have a lot of passion going into this project. At the same time, like, no one is like getting butthurt over like hateful comments or anything, you know. So
we're all just trying to have a good time.
Yeah, we're just having fun, you know, just doing what we love, making movies and trying to like have people's childhood come to life in this live action project.
Makes sense. That's the problem with the internet. It gives everyone a voice. They need to shut down the internet, for crying out loud.
That's what I've been saying. Wait, actually, after we release this.
Yeah.
What I'd like to do is put one of you in the hot seat, whoever thinks that they have the greatest knowledge of Dragon Ball Z.
Anton!
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to ask you a series of questions. You just answer them as quickly as possible. Any wrong answers will just result in Kamehameha to the penis.
Again?
Again. All right. Are you ready, Mr. Anton?
I'm ready.
Okay. How many Dragon Balls are there?
7.
What's Bulma's father's name?
Dr. Briefs.
What planet is Piccolo from?
Namek.
How many members are on the Ginyu Force?
Oh, crap. I'm going to say 8.
Close. 5.
5. Aw, man.
Name 4 Saiyans that have traveled to Earth.
Raditz, Vegeta, Goku, and Turles.
All right. I'll give you that. I was going to say Nappa, but whatever.
that was the obvious one.
Yeah, I know obvious. okay. And lastly, what is the total runtime of all the Dragon Ball Z episodes combined?
Oh, boy.
It's over 9,000.
Perfect. You, sir, are a master of the Dragon Ball Z. Congratulations. You have survived
Dragon Ball Z every day.
There you go. Perfect. And lastly, Rita, can you please explain to our listeners where they can go to support Dragon Ball Z, Light of Hope?
All right, you guys can go to our many places online. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on YouTube. And then, of course, the Indiegogo page, which you can find via our website, www.robotunderdog.com. You can find it on our Facebook page, which is username @robotunderdog. And it's in the descriptions on all of the videos on YouTube. And pretty simple. You just click the link, go, click a perk, and donate. Our time's running short. You'll probably have, like, 10 hours left by the time you hear this. So if you want to see this project, go donate now.
Well, thank you very much for your time. It was a pleasure speaking to all three of you.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to watch Dragon Ball Z, A Light of Hope.
Thank you, man.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Oh, no problem. My pleasure. I got so much pleasure from doing this podcast. You got no clue.
We are pleasers.
Yes, well, you are.
Thanks again.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys are welcome back anytime. In fact, when this goes live and the episode is aired for the world to see, I would love to have you guys back on the show, give you some feedback, tell you how the show should have gone, what would make it better, all that stuff.
Okay.
I think that'll be a lot of fun.
Deal. That sounds good. Let's put that on the calendar.
I'll have your people call my people.
Okay.
For sure.
I hope to have people by then.
Yeah,
us
likewise.
Too.
Likewise. Actually, you know, not to totally jump back into things, I think that's one other thing I'd like to mention. You know, like out of all of the hard work that's gone into this, this team is so small. Like right now, as soon as I got home from one job, I'm going right back into Dragon Ball Z, and I'll be working on that right after this podcast, going into more location scouting and this and that. And everyone on the team has put so much work into it. So I just want everyone to just be aware, like, this is a really small team doing this. So when you see this,
After our regular jobs.
Yeah, we're just normal people. You know, our slogan is normal people doing awesome things. We're just working really, really hard. And we're just trying to give people what they want. So... I really appreciate you giving us the time and the platform to be able to speak to everybody. And I just really hope they like what we do for them because we're trying.
I'm sure they will. If they don't, they get a Kamehameha to the dick. And that's all there is to it.
Deal.
Perfect. I'll do it. I've been practicing.
So is Anthony.
We'll do it together. We'll do it together.
It takes 30 minutes to power up, so hopefully they don't move.
I'll hold them down.
Okay, that works. Well, thank you guys very much, and you have a fun and festive evening.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the show. Glad you made it. David, Randy, how are both of you doing?
Doing great. Sorry I was late. A little bit of traffic coming, but glad to be here. How are you doing?
Fabulous. Randy, how are you?
Wonderful, thank you. Looking forward to chatting with y'all.
Yes, let's get right into it. David, you just came from seeing Captain America the Winter Soldier. How was that?
It was pretty awesome, I'm not gonna lie. I know Justin had his problems with the first Captain America, and why I had a small dose of that with the first Captain America. I really enjoyed the first one. But the second one is just a completely different animal. It's set in modern times. It's got an interesting villain as opposed to Hugo Weaving as Red Skull. And it's just really cool. It's a shield on shield action, and it's kick ass. I would give it, let's see, what grade would I give it? I would give it a strong, you know what? You're going to have to read my review tomorrow and see what grade I give it. But there were a lot of things I liked about it. They really expanded the world. They made many references to other characters off screen. I'm sure we didn't get to see Iron Man or Thor or any of them, but their presence was still kind of felt. This was it was almost like a very un-Marvel movie. Like, I don't want that to sound like a negative, but it was almost like a spy thriller. And at the heart of this spy thriller was Robert Redford. And Robert Redford just kicked so much ass in this movie. Like, he was just so awesome. Like, every second he's on screen, he just, like, oozed awesomeness. Samuel L. Jackson has easily the biggest role he's had in any of the other Marvel films. So he's always there for a fun one-liner. And it was nice because I was afraid that they were going to make a million Captain America doesn't know anything because he was frozen for 40 years. Mm-hmm. They make one little blurb at the very beginning, and that's it. So I don't know if you guys had any questions about Captain America. You guys going to see this weekend?
Yes.
Probably not.
Yeah, Randy can't see movies. It's good. You should see it, Randy. I think you'd like it.
I am going to be dressed as a pirate with a drink in one hand and some ridiculous food product in the other hand all weekend long.
What a nerd.
Dork.
Are you going to be drinking your mead?
I'm going to be drinking mead. I'm going to be drinking cider. I'm going to be drinking pretty much anything I can get my hands on. And I have every intention of living up to every bit of the drunken pirate stereotype this weekend.
Oh, shit.
Now, when you say there's shield on shield action, are we to believe we get a little bit of, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah. Nothing to do with the show. Like, it is not even mentioned. It's not a blip. There's no Coulson, no nothing. It is,
okay, no crossover.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was like how this was presented, because this is a very S.H.I.E.L.D.-centric story. And if Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was told like this, it would be the greatest show in the history of television. Because aside from having Captain America in this, it's really just S.H.I.E.L.D. And I think that the show could take a lot of notes from the infrastructure of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, the interplay between S.H.I.E.L.D. and, you know, other governing bodies. I won't spoil it, trying to intervene and intersect and just kind of get in the way. And like I said, Robert Redford just seals the deal. He just adds so much class and just, like, gravitas to the role because he's just so awesome. There's a bunch of cool cameos. Gary Shandling comes back as the senator from Iron Man 2. Mm-hmm. he makes a brief appearance. And there's a couple of the fun cameos that I won't ruin. And the after credit scene I thought was started out kind of lame, and I was like, that's kind of weak. But then ended kind of interesting. I won't ruin it for you. But there's a new word for mutant out there, and it's called Miracles. That's all I'll say. I guess Fox owns the rights to use the word mutant, and Marvel has to call them Miracles or something. Or they just want to be separate, I guess.
If it's a mutant, call it a mutant. God damn it.
Anthony Mackie was in this. He played Falcon. He was pretty rad. He added some much-needed levity because Captain America is a bit of a stiff. I don't know if you guys have noticed. So, yeah, definitely check out Captain America the Winter Soldier. Other movie news, did you guys check out the trailer for the Ninja Turtles?
I did.
I actually kind of liked it.
Me too.
It's a Michael Bay film, so of course you liked it.
Yeah, Platinum Dunes. He produced it, at least.
Yeah. I don't know. I think there's been a little bit of backlash about it. I've heard some angry people talking about it.
Even the podcast seemed pretty positive about it.
Especially ours. The fucking... I really like the end when Michelangelo is saying, it's okay. See? And he's like, it's just a mask. See? Like, to me, that nails it. I think that's perfect Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Could have been straight out of the cartoon, that.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they looked kind of cool. I mean, they looked... I mean, some people are complaining about, like, the design and how they looked, but they're fucking 6-foot-tall turtles. What do you want?
Right.
Yeah. And I think they look fine.
Yeah, I think they look amazing. And if nothing else, you got Megan Fox to look at, and you got Will Arnett. I'm sure he's going to be funny, and I'm sure there'll be some turtle kicking ass.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah. what else could you possibly want from a movie called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Other than Ninja Turtles who maybe are teenagers. I think they're really like 20-somethings playing teenagers, but that's just my own bias.
I think that's just, you know, child labor laws.
Yeah.
Although yeah. they did it in China, right?
I don't know. Funny. That's where karate is from.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's true. Oh. I can't back that up.
Miyagi says that karate comes from China.
Yeah, well, there you go. And Miyagi was the expert.
He knows. I mean, he's a goddamn plumber. He's a maintenance man.
He's all around. He fixes bikes.
Yeah. He's a bit of a florist.
Yeah. Rescues children.
Yeah.
I'm sure if there's a kitten that walked by, you'd be able to nurse that back to health.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. So, yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Did you guys see that gnarly-looking poster for Transformers Age of Extinction, speaking of Michael Bay movies?
Yeah, I saw it on thegeeklegacy.com.
Yeah, it's a good website. You guys should all bookmark it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty cool. It's got Mark Wahlberg's house, and it's got this giant alien spaceship over it. It doesn't look like it's up to. It looks like it's up to no good.
Yeah, it looks good. I'm excited. Transformers.
Yeah, it's got Mark Wahlberg and Transformers.
The thing though, I don't know. I thought of something because like Mark Wahlberg. Whenever I see Mark Wahlberg, I just think Mark Wahlberg. You know, I don't. Regardless of what movie he's doing, it's always just Mark Wahlberg for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of have the same problem with Sandra Bullock and George Clooney. And I watched Gravity over the weekend. Finally,
they're both in it.
Uh huh. And I couldn't really take it seriously just because of you know who they are. You know, they're like super mega A-listers, right? So, And for whatever reason, they just always look and sound the same to me. Whereas, you know, we were talking about Christian Bale the other day and even like Philip Seymour Hoffman and how they're just like chameleons and they just kind of turn into whatever role they're doing.
Right.
And that's not the case for Miss Bullock or Mr. Clooney. And I didn't get off on it as much as everybody else. And I think one of the problems that I loved all the shots in space. I thought like visually it was amazing. But there was one part where she goes into the Russian station and she's taken off her little space suit and then she kind of curls up and then with like the little hose, it looks like she's a fetus in a womb.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was like something straight out of film school or something. Like it just looks so cheeseball to me. Do you guys disagree?
I don't disagree. I think he was playing a little heavy with the symbolism at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a big supporter of Gravity for a long time. And I think that what most people knock about it, I enjoy. Like, I like that it's only 90 minutes. I like that the story is like, you like a minute and a half into the movie, shit goes wrong, the story starts. Soon as she sets foot, spoiler alert, soon as she sets her foot back on like solid ground, movie's over. Like, she gets up. The whole movie is about her trying to get back to Earth. She gets back to Earth, movie ends. Like, there's no, like, none of this, like, bullshit before, none of this bullshit afterwards. It's, like, a tightly paced, great movie. But I could agree with you that, you know, he was trying to get a little heavy with symbolism. I'm glad that you liked the visuals. I was curious how it would translate to, like, the small screen mm-hmm. as opposed to the not small screen, I guess.
I have a big TV.
Well, you don't have, like, an IMAX TV.
No, it's being built.
Yeah. You got to buy the house, the apartment above you and below you. It's a whole like,
it's an art thing. But yeah, it did look like I was in space. It looked beautiful, and I like how what's cool is how most I don't want to say most of the time, but it felt like most of the time, whenever they looked at Earth, they were looking up, and I just think that that's a trip because you know you look up to see the stars, and it's weird to be in space to look up and see the Earth instead of looking down on the Earth.
Yeah, that's cool.
That is cool. That really gives you a sense of, you know, your bearings and where the hell you're at. I think that's cool. Like, shit, I'm in space. It doesn't make sense. Everything's backwards.
Up is down. Down is up.
Yeah. Bizarre world.
Huh. Crazy. And your favorite thing, when it gets all quiet in space. They did that a bunch, too.
Yeah, I like that.
Like, when everything's just going to hell and getting annihilated, but you don't hear anything.
Yeah. She didn't hear the debris, and she didn't see the... I mean, she was able to see the station get fucked up, but that was about it.
Yeah,
that was nuts. Interesting. I did think it was kind of funny when it looks like Clooney's just kind of cruising around in a little lawn chair with rockets. You know what I mean? With little airbursts.
Yeah.
I was like, this guy just floating around having his own goddamn business. Reminded me of like that story with the guy in the lawn chair with all the balloons.
Yeah, it's floating away.
Yeah. Oh, it's stupid.
Just going anyway, for a ride.
That's my two bits on Gravity. Was it good? Yes. Did I think it's as amazing as everyone else? Not so much.
Yeah, and I agree with you when you say that like Clooney and Sandra Bullock and people like them play themselves. But then I would just argue that people go to a movie to see Sandra Bullock and George Clooney, where they don't necessarily go to a movie to see Christian Bale. Like they'll leave a movie saying, you know, Christian Bale was really good, but I don't think I've ever heard anyone say like, oh, let's go see the new Christian Bale movie.
I am one of those people though that wants to go see a Christian Bale movie because I want to see how crazy he is. And I'm that way with Daniel Day-Lewis, too. I mean, his movies are boring as fuck most of the time, but I still want to go see him be an amazing actor. Daniel Day-Lewis, that is, not Christian Bale.
Right.
With Clooney and Sandra Bullock, here's a movie, like, all this hype, and you know what? I sat that one out. I was like, I knew that I was just going to see them, and for what I wasn't drawn to the box office.
Right.
Like old people are with Burt Reynolds and shit.
Or with Sandra Bullock. Sandy B brings the old people.
Mm-hmm. She does.
They're like, she was in that movie.
She's cute. She's adorable. Was
in a football movie with the black fella. That's what the old people say, not what I would say.
Yeah. She was kind of over the top in that one, but whatever.
She definitely channeled her inner Aaron Brockovich in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be probably one of the few roles where I would say she wasn't playing Sandra Bullock. And she got an Oscar, I guess. So maybe she should do it more often.
So do we have a fun list for this week?
We do have kind of a fun list. And this one's a little different. It's kind of visual, but after showing you guys, I think we've all decided that this could be fun enough just to talk about and not have to see the photos that go with it. But these are obnoxious. This is the top 10 worst kids knockoff toy fails. And this comes from a fun website called ultimatetop10s.com. So, I mean, you've all seen them before. You go to like a dollar store or whatever, and they've got like some bootleg like Avengers figures or something that, you know, they're not officially licensed, so they'll call them something else, but it's totally Iron Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we got
okay quite over a there. I was just skipping ahead, sorry. Continue with the list.
All right, coming in at number 10, we have a lovely little bootleg doll here named Anna Montana.
That's cool.
Yep.
And it looks so real. Like, I mean, like the font and like it, like. It
oh, yeah, like, yeah.
It looks like something like. Like, if you went to buy something for your niece and didn't know, like, oh, people are into that. I thought it was Hannah, but, oh, well, wants an Anna Montana. You'd totally buy that.
Mm-hmm. Especially if they told you over the phone, because then you would think that you just misheard.
Right. No, it's okay. It must be your sister or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like your evil sister.
Number 9. This one's actually one of my favorites. Instead of angry birds, it's ill-tempered birds.
George Lucas is going to sue somebody.
And they didn't even, like, change anything about the artwork. It's freaking identical Angry Birds. Or at least the drawing is. Now, the products that they're selling are these little pencil toppers, and they look nothing. They're just, like, poorly handmade and just, like, painted with Sharpies by a two-year-old kind of thing. But the artwork in the machine itself is ridiculous. Totally. I didn't want to be the dick to say that, though. Number 8. This one confuses me by the name. Cartoon Fairy Balls. And it's Pokemon, but Cartoon Fairy Balls just sounds so terrible.
Yeah. It looks like Sailor Moon on the package.
Right. She's got the little
with
orb.
Pikachu. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Funny. It's just bad.
I like the next one.
Yep.
We were just talking about Ninja Turtles. This one's, instead of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I mean, it's the exact same logo, but it says New Style Ninja Tortoise. And it's got Michelangelo just chilling there. And the action figure itself is just pretty terrible looking. And to make no mistake that it is not, in fact, a turtle, he's got this gigantic oval on his chest in red with white lettering. It says tortoise across his chest.
I think that's my favorite part.
Why does his belt buckle say S?
I have no idea. His name must start with S.
Well, we'll have to link this list in our show notes for everybody.
Right. Yeah. We have to come up with a Renaissance painter whose name started with S, somebody who isn't already a Ninja Turtle. Figure out who that guy is supposed to be.
That's awesome.
All right, number six, Star Knight. And this one is one of many Star Wars knockoffs. But this one's great. It's kind of like if Darth Vader was on chips, because he's sitting there riding a police motorcycle, and Darth Vader looks all robotic. It's kind of fun.
Oh, it's terrible. It's got like little training wheels.
I wonder what country that's from. It's just it's bad. It's
bad.
So bad. All right, number five, Special Man. And he's wearing Superman's identical outfit with an S on his chest and everything, but it stands for Special Man, not Superman. And his face, the face is the creepiest thing about it, because I swear to God, it looks exactly like those images of Nick Cage wearing the Superman costume from the could-have-been Tim Burton version of Superman. And I am so glad. I'm so glad that I've never physically seen one of these toys, because I'd probably throw up in my mouth a little bit. Next one is another fun one. Spider-Man instead of Spider-Man, and it's a total knockoff from Spider-Man 2, and he's wearing like the tore up mask where you see the human face underneath it, and I totally expect to see like a James Spader face underneath that, because honestly, why else would they name him Spider-Man?
Terrible.
Just bad. That just shows a fundamental lack of understanding of the English language when they're making their knockoff toys.
And his left arm is kind of different.
As in special.
It's long and weird looking.
Yeah, it's just terrible. Just looks poorly made. Mm-hmm. Bad. Number three, Space Wars. And this is a really, really terrible knockoff of R2-D2 on this particular toy, that somehow his legs, which shouldn't be articulated, look like they have knees.
Mm-hmm.
His little side legs. And his third leg is kind of a nub. And he looks kind of like, I don't know.
Looks like a fist clenching a little weight or something. The middle leg?
Yeah.
I like it. What's next?
Space Boys 3. And contrary to what you might be thinking, it's not another Star Wars knockoff. It's freaking Toy Story. And the creepiest thing about this, they're showing a doll. It's Woody. But he's got these like gigantic hands that are like three times the size of his face. And his arms are like, his knuckles are dragging on the ground. He's like total, just big old gorilla. It's terrifying. As a child, I would not want to play. And the worst thing about it is it's not just Space Boys. It's Space Boys 3, as if there was one and a two before that. And this was totally riding on the popularity of Toy Story 3. I mean, they even have all the identical characters on the packaging. How in the hell can they get away with that?
I don't know. It's another country's problem.
Totally, yeah. And very, very lax copyright laws. Number one, this one's really... I think this one's David's favorite. It's an action figure. It's actually a pretty decent-looking representation of RoboCop from RoboCop 3. But on the package, it says Robert Cop. Robert Cop 3.
Yeah, Robert Cop 3.
This is only $10.
Yeah.
Even the label says RoboCop, like the price tag. Like he's trying to fool somebody.
That was my list this week. We'll definitely have to put a link to it so everybody can see these ridiculous toys. I love it.
Yeah, that's hot.
It makes me really appreciate the bootleg toys that I do have. I have a couple like Mexican bootleg Star Wars figures from the 80s. And they're not really all that bizarre, but they just totally took the original toys, made a cheap-ass mold of them, and then they mass-produced them in, like, neon colors. Like, the most obnoxious. Like, I have the most bright neon orange Boba Fett you can imagine. And it's just, why would anybody want to play with that? You can't even move him. He doesn't do anything. He just stands there looking all stupid and bright.
I have a fun game.
Do you?
Ooh, I like games.
That was a fun list, Randy, by the way. Thank you very much for sharing. Tears came out of my eyes looking at some of those photos. I definitely like the ninja one, the Ninja Turtle one, the tortoise. That was hot.
There's a blue variant on that too.
Oh shit, gotta get it.
Oh man, are you on eBay looking at them right now?
No, I just googled it to see, and there's a couple of people that are talking about it and stuff like that.
Pretty terrible. Anyway, fun game. Oh, as I yawn, sorry about that. Fun game. It's called the Naked Lady game.
Oh, I like naked ladies.
I know. Well, it actually gave me the idea is when you first logged on, you said boobs for some reason. And I was like, that's it. I'm making a boob game.
Sweet.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you guys several movie titles that have one thing in common. They all feature the same naked lady. I need you to name the actress that shows some skin and ultimately enhances our movie-going experience. Shout out the answer when you know it. As always, you only get one guess, and if your answer is incorrect, you're obviously done for that round of questioning. Sound fair?
Yeah, sounds more than fair to me.
All right, are you ready?
Ready.
All right,
here we go. Cyborg 2, Pushing 10, Mojave Moon, Beyond Borders.
Angelina Jolie.
Very good.
Mm.
David, you are corrected. Angelina Jolie. Got big ass titty. Anyway. Wind Rider, Bangkok Hilton, Billy Bathgate, Eyes Wide Shut, Cold Mountain, Birth, Australia.
Nicole Kidman.
Ooh, I heard David first. Mm. That was a close one. Sorry, Randy.
I request playback on that one.
All right, we'll just give it to you.
No, I'm teasing. No,
that's all right. We'll make it interesting. 1-1.
Yeah. It's on now, Randy.
Shit.
Number 3. Iris, Quills, Hamlet, Heavenly Creatures, The Reader, Little...
Kate Winslet.
Very good. David with two.
The only reason I watched that stupid Quills movie
is for her nakedness.
Yeah.
So now you're back. Now you're back at 2.
Wait.
Number 4. At Any Price, The Hangover, Misconception, Broken.
Lauren Graham.
Incorrect.
Lauren Graham.
Incorrect. Killing Me Softly, Two Girls and a Guy, Boogie Nights, Adrift in Manhattan.
Are you sure it's not Heather Graham?
It is, in fact, Heather Graham.
Damn it! I said Lauren Graham.
I was gonna say what the fuck, but. You know, License to Drive is one of my favorite movies ever.
Is she in that?
She doesn't show her tits in
that. She doesn't get naked. She's Mercedes.
Oh. Yeah.
Heather Graham is, let's see when she was born. She had to have been born like 1970 or some shit. Oh, yeah, 1970. Boom. That was just a stab in the dark.
She looks pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, she does look pretty good. She's well preserved.
I like older broads.
I do, too. Especially when they're naked.
Yeah.
And she tends to get naked quite a bit.
She does.
Judging by that list.
Yes. All right, number 5. The Burning Plain, Aeon Flux, The Life and Death of Peter Sellers, Head in the Clouds, Monster, Trapped, Cider House Rules, Devil's Advocate, 2 Days in the Valley.
Charlize Theron.
Perfect. David.
I had no idea.
David with 3. Charlize Theron. Dance for Charlize Theron. Sit down. Let
Am I pretty?
Pretty?
Tell me I'm pretty.
That's funny. All right. Number 6. The Advocate, Stealing Beauty, I Want You, Sunshine, Beautiful Creatures, The Constant Gardener, Enemy at the Gates, Agora, Scarlet and Black.
Rachel Weisz?
Perfect. David, commanding lead. 4.
Ooh.
Rachel Weisz. Finding Woman.
Secretly married. She did the third Mummy movie. She loses all credit.
No, she did not. She
wasn't
not
in it. The third. Yeah. She was the only non-returning cast member.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I got them mixed up. That's my. I thought she was the one that replaced in the third, but then I remember she's famous because she was in the first two.
Yeah.
I apologize.
It was that other broad, Maria Bello. Yeah. Bello? Maria Bello?
Who was
awesome. She had a naughty scene in that History of Violence movie. She got kind of raped on the steps, but not really. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it kind of is.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's forced.
All right, number 7. Right?
Yeah.
All right. Friday Night Lights, Alpha Dog, The Informers, The Joneses, Rum Diary.
Friday Night Lights, someone gets naked?
Yeah. The movie, not the TV show. That's kind of a dark horse. I'm not sure if you guys would get this one. I think she's married to Johnny Depp or engaged to him now.
Oh, wow.
Amber Heard. That's what I was
saying. Oh, I know she got naked.
Yeah.
Huh. That's weird, because Friday Night is PG-13. I had no idea there was any nudity in that movie.
I think it's accidental.
Accidentes.
Accidentes.
Or it's done in good taste.
Oh, tasteful.
Tasteful nudes.
Mm-hmm. All right, last one. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
I'm going back. These are some older ones.
Ooh.
All right. Action Jackson, Year of the Gun, The Specialist, Basic Instinct, Gloria, The Muse, Basic Instinct
Sharon
2.
Stone? Sharon Stone.
Yes.
David got that one.
Yes, he did.
Action Jackson.
David with a whopping 5.
Yeah!
You win. You know your naked ladies. Congratulations.
Oh, I do. Maybe I've watched too many movies. You know who else is in Action Jackson?
Carl Tom Weathers.
Wilson.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. He's really? Officer Cornblow.
That's a great name.
That is kind of a great name.
And Craig T. Nelson's in it too, Coach.
Oh shit. Back when he was young.
Back in the day when he was young.
This was before Troop Beverly Hills.
It was. And the Red Feathers.
You know what's funny is Craig T. Nelson almost always plays a bad guy. Or just a dick. Not necessarily a bad guy, but just kind of a dick. And I don't know if you saw the movie The Family Stone or not, but he's actually a sweetheart in that movie. And it's kind of weird.
Not he's a bad guy in Devil's Advocate, too.
Yes, he
is. Another movie that you were talking about in your fun list with Charlize Theron boobies.
Yeah, that's a naughty movie. In fact, I remember when I went to go see it, there was this old couple in front of me that was just... enraged at how filthy the movie was, and they wanted their money back.
Really?
They said the movie was trash. That was their words.
That's harsh words.
I took Amy to see that on our 4th anniversary.
Oh, nice. It wasn't like your 4th time going out.
No, it was our 4-year anniversary.
I see. I understand now. For some reason, I thought it was like the 4th time you guys saw each other kind of thing.
We don't celebrate our 4th date. We scrapbooked it, but we don't celebrate it.
Oh, shit. Even better.
People who scrapbook are weird.
They are weird. That.
My sister is like the most diehard scrapbooker in the world, and it's a weird hobby.
It's a sickness.
Live your life.
Yeah.
Don't put in a book. So Game of Thrones this Sunday, right?
Is it?
Ooh.
No, is it?
Is it the 6th, right?
Oh yeah.
That's still WrestleMania this Sunday too.
Still a week away. It's only Monday.
Does anything interesting happen at WrestleMania these days anymore?
I think Undertaker's gonna fight and win.
It's a
Hulk Hogan still wrestling?
He's hosting this year.
Oh, shit. He's going to get involved and win the championship.
Shit. Yeah, he's going to end up walking away with a belt.
I bet you $1 that he wins the championship.
It would burn the place to the fucking ground.
I bet you. And he's going to do his stupid little ear thing, and he's going to rip his shirt off. And then he's gonna do his stupid leg drop, and he's going to walk away with the belt.
He's going to get involved in a match, but I don't think it'll be the championship match.
Yeah, he's going to be the champion. Like, President Jack Tunney's going to approve.
Jack Tunney's going to come out and sanction it.
Yeah.
So after long deliberation, I decided to sanction the championship run of Hulk Hogan.
Problem solved.
That poor guy, he was like the figurehead for all like the shit. Mm-hmm. McMahon did all the work, and oh, this is bad news. Go tell him, Tony.
Cool. Anyone else got anything else to say?
Mm-mm.
Not a way.
All right. Well, that does it for this week's podcast. Thanks for joining us. As always, remember to go to geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews. Check out our other podcasts on the Geek Legacy Network. There is the Pixelated Podcast, where Stephen and I go on and on and on about the video game news, basically recapping the week's highlights in the gaming world. Also, we have the Comic Corner podcast, where Jeff and Tyler review comics currently on their pull list. Like us on Facebook, follow us on the Twitter there at Geek Legacy. Stay fabulous, and you have a wonderful week. Thank you.